This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Vancouver 4 text line 503-864-6326. Deal, one of our fine, probably at this stage of the game, one of our top 73 texters.
Yeah, he's
to the program.
He's in the playoffs. How about that?
He's doing great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's just, you know, we don't hear from Dieter as much anymore, and Deal has really picked up some slack.
Yeah.
Deal's dialed.
Yeah, he's taking the ball and he's run with it. He says, one game away from Oregon going undefeated in the Big Ten, no one ever went undefeated in the Pac-12. Let's just join the SEC next.
There you go.
That's where they're at. Yeah, I know. Big Ten stuff's easy.
Everyone's pissed about the SEC.
Yeah, we'll get to that. But we're finding out today that Oregon is in the Big Ten championship game.
Officially.
It is official. Yeah. They will be in the game in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
Probably feels pretty good that you don't have to sweat much at all until the playoff, because you're probably in that too.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, really, there's seemingly no way that you could get bumped. I mean, they've all but said that they are not going to punish people for conference title game losses.
I mean, worst case scenario, you have two losses and you're probably in the tournament at the 8 or 9 slot or somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's so complicated that nobody knew this until today. but the Ducks are in. The Big Ten says it followed a comprehensive evaluation of 10 scenarios, and there wasn't one where Oregon did not finish in the top two. In 4 of the scenarios, they would play Indiana. In 4 others, they would meet Ohio State. One scenario exists where they'd play Penn State, and then the last scenario is either Indiana or Penn State, depending on the highest cumulative conference win percentage of all conference opponents.
99% chance here that you play Indiana or Ohio State.
The winner.
Yeah, whoever wins that game, unless some sort of absolute chaos happens that last week of the season against Michigan or against Purdue, you're playing Indiana or Ohio State. So, I mean, and obviously I think you'd rather, if you're talking about winning, I think you'd rather play Indiana. But if Indiana goes out and throttles Ohio State, maybe that changes. But from a talent standpoint, you saw the way Michigan was able to slow down Indiana. I mean, that's the easier game, but I don't think anyone's ducking Ohio State. I don't think you're scared of Ohio State. And it just gives you another opportunity to prove yourself on the biggest stage. And your reward for that will be a bye. And if not, if somehow you tripped up against Ohio State, then you're probably that 5 seed. And then you're playing more than likely Boise State, or maybe on the outside chance, an Arizona State or a Colorado or a BYU, a team like that.
Yeah, I was getting ready. I was going to pull this up here. Now I can't find it on my email.
What are you looking for?
Well, they sent out an email with all the scenarios on it. And I was looking to see what the scenario was where they played Penn State. And
my guess would be that both Ohio State and Indiana would have to lose multiple games.
Well, no, because they would just need – Penn State has a chance if Indiana – loses.
I think you
right, because now you'd have you'd have one loss Indiana, one loss Ohio State, one loss Penn State.
I think what
but
you
Ohio
would
State
need,
would have head to head over Penn State.
I think what you would need is Indiana to beat Ohio State.
Here we go.
No. I'm trying to think of how that works because they haven't played Indiana. So they would need Ohio State to beat Indiana, Indiana to lose to Purdue, and then Ohio State to lose to Michigan.
Yeah, says, that's not happening. Says, no, that's just not happening.
Indiana would have to lose both.
Yeah.
As you said, Ohio State would have to, yeah, then lose to Michigan. Yeah. That's the only way.
Ducks fans should watch the game this weekend knowing that the winner is the team you play.
Yes.
That's how it should be.
I was trying to think because the Indiana thing wouldn't be head-to-head. So, yes.
Well, there's one other scenario where they can play Penn State.
And that is what?
And it's Ohio State. So it's Ohio State finishes 7-2.
Uh-huh.
So they lose to Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Indiana and Penn State both finish 8-1, mm-hmm. both lost to Ohio State. So this is the more likely scenario. And that would be Oregon is obviously the number one. The number two would then be determined by highest cumulative conference winning percentage of all conference opponents at the end of the season between Indiana and Penn State.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. That's
so sure. Penn State, who do they have left?
I'd have to look. I don't know who Penn State has left.
So Penn State is a huge fan of Michigan against Ohio State.
Yeah.
And then, well, I mean, at that point, no, they need Indiana to beat Ohio State and Michigan to beat Ohio State.
They have Minnesota and Maryland.
So they should win the next two.
Yeah.
Although that Minnesota game.
Minnesota's a little frisky.
Yeah, that's in Minnesota. Look,
let's be honest. Penn State's offense is very meh. So we'll see what happens.
But they got a shot. But
again, more than likely.
Long shot.
Whoever wins Indiana and Ohio State, there you go. Purdue is not beating Indiana. It's not happening. I don't think Indiana.
They are rivals.
I don't think Indiana. I love that. That's they're making that the rival, and then like the Penn State finishes up with Maryland. That's the big rival. Like okay,
is their like natural rival?
I don't know, but at the end of the year, I mean, right? You always play. You should play the rivalry.
It feels like Penn State and like Pitt would be rivals, but they're obviously not in the same conference. Yeah. So
that's where you're getting saddled up. Is
yeah, I don't
know.
It's
like when they made Colorado and Utah rivals in the Pac-12. You're like, well, this is your rival. Now you play them at the end of the year.
Yeah, you guys showed up at the same time, so here you go.
Yeah, here, take it.
So Purdue's only won one game, one stinking game.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not.
And they're probably firing their grounds crew. Did you see that play over the weekend?
Why?
Well, so the guy in the corner of the end zone. See, look up. Well, you missed it. But like Indiana just, they had Indiana scoring a touchdown. So the Indiana end zone is red. And then there's a big white. There's usually a second block color that's about 4 yards deep. And then you get into the green of the field or you get into cement or whatever, right? Well, whoever did the Purdue end zone did a black end zone with a thin, like razor thin,
like white, sideline thin,
white stripe, and then more black. So my guy for Purdue thinks he's catching a touchdown pass.
He's running a route along the back of the end zone, and he basically pulls an Orlovsky for a receiver, and he just runs out the back, catches it, looks down, he thinks his feet are in. He's 3 feet behind the pylon.
Yeah, he really thought that because when he saw the line, he thought that the excess, which is normally a different color, was the actual end zone.
His home stadium.
Yeah. How dumb can you be? And I'm not blaming the kid.
No.
I'm blaming the grounds crew.
Whose idea that was? I don't know.
Great idea. Hey, I got an idea, guys. Let's paint the out of bounds the exact same as
more
the
black
field.
Is always cool, right? Let's do that.
Like, what?
Black.
Like Purdue doesn't have a gold that they can use there?
Or that's just green? Terrible. Green grass?
Yeah, it's awful.
Unbelievable.
Yes.
Why would they do that?
I don't know.
It's
instant fire.
Bang your head against the wall, stupid.
Yeah, straight to jail.
Here we go in that Big Ten again.
Whoever was in charge of that, that's atrocious. That's atrocious.
Although, I'm looking at the play. The kid, you know, I mean, come on, the pylon, dude. It's bright orange.
I understand. You probably should be aware of the pylon, but
the Penn State guy looking at him is hilarious.
Yeah, I know. But when you're in the midst of all that, you know, sometimes when, you know, the stuff's happening fast, you don't realize it because, to be fair, he's looking up at the ball. And he doesn't even look down for the pylon until he's already caught it. So the pylon's never in his field of vision. He just is running along black. And I don't blame you. If you're running on green grass and then all of a sudden you find yourself in the end zone and the end zone's all black and all you see beneath you is all black, you assume you're in the end zone.
You know who would have been all over that?
Mm.
Dan Lanning.
He wouldn't have allowed that.
That's right.
Well, I've never, like, they're running a college football highlight thing right now, and everyone keeps scoring touchdowns. I don't see one other end zone. Not one.
I've never seen that.
That's painted like that.
Yeah, that's crazy. I'm looking at Purdue. Purdue, you know, they got shut out by Ohio State, and they got shut out by Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
So they lost 80-0.
It's not good.
To Ohio State and Oregon. Mm. They also lost to Penn State and only scored 10 points.
Yeah.
How on earth, in Wisconsin, they only scored 6. Nebraska, they only scored 10. How on earth did they score 49 against Illinois?
I don't know. And Illinois actually has a pretty good defense.
Explain that.
There is.
That was the. I think that was the week they changed quarterbacks, so maybe no one had seen him. And that's as far as I can go.
Purdue has lost to Notre Dame, Illinois, Oregon, Ohio State, Penn State. You know, nothing to be ashamed of there. Sure. But they also lost to Oregon State.
Yeah.
Explain that.
Yeah. I don't know if you've seen what the Beavs have going on, but.
So my Hoosiers.
At this point, losing to Oregon State, it's about as bad as it gets.
My Hoosiers control their own.
Yeah.
Control their own destiny.
Dude, I think it'd be amazing.
What, and so does Ohio State, really.
What'll be the interesting thing is, because they have basically said, or the general feeling out there, enough people have spoken about this, that they are not going to punish teams for going and losing in a conference title game, right? That they're saying the conference title game should only be able to help you. What I'll be interested in is Indiana. If Indiana loses to Ohio State, and they're sitting there as a one-loss team, and they're fifth in the country right now, especially, let's say it's a bad loss. Let's say Ohio State pickleballs them, smacks them right in the face. Does someone have the balls to keep a two-loss Georgia or a two-loss Ole Miss or whoever out and put in a one-loss Indiana when Indiana's best win would be...
Who would it be?
Washington?
Oh, my God, really?
Washington or Michigan? Because Michigan State's not a bowl team. I mean, I think the only bowl teams would be Washington and if Michigan wins another
but
game.
Can I counter that?
Go ahead, counter.
With if Texas loses to Texas A&M, and that game is in College Station,
sure,
they have two losses, Texas. And who would be their best win?
It'd be better than...
It'd be Michigan.
It'd be better than Washington, wouldn't it?
Well, you said Washington or Michigan. Yeah. Theirs would be Michigan. Oh, no, they beat Vanderbilt.
Yeah. Oklahoma? Yeah.
No, it's Vanderbilt.
Florida?
Vanderbilt's good. I mean, they were ranked.
We'll see if they lose to Texas.
But seriously, like Kirby Smart's doing all this bitching. Looked at Texas? Beat the crap out of Texas. Outside of Georgia, Texas hasn't played anybody.
Oh, trust me. Kirby knows that his ass is riding a razor-thin margin.
I mean, just stupid.
Kirby is out there pounding that drum.
They're campaigning already. Those two law schools.
Yeah. Ole Miss is talking about it.
I gotta tell you, I like watching the SEC squirm.
Yeah, it's kind of fun.
It's cute.
Tennessee's sweating bullets right now. But the one thing that I will agree, and this was Lane Kiffin brought this up, and he said that he's heard from multiple coaches. And
well, we'll play that. Let's stick a fork in that. We'll play that next because that's coming up. And we have the college football playoff rankings coming out. Mm-hmm. I wonder if Oregon will be number one. Do you think they will be?
I think so.
It is Isaac and Suk on the Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
All right, so here are the SEC standings. You've got Texas on top at 5-1 in the league and 9-1 overall. Mm-hmm. Okay. You following so far?
Yeah. And they got a little meat left on the bone because they've got so Kentucky, who's not terrible.
Hey!
And then they got A&M.
Ryan Buckley has a Kentucky stat that's going to blow your mind.
Ooh, hot Kentucky talk.
Are you ready?
Yeah. What do we got?
Yeah, I saw this today on Twitter, and I don't know. I haven't verified it myself yet. Haven't gone into the archives. But Kentucky plays at Texas this weekend. It's the furthest west they've ever played a football game.
You believe that?
Wait,
You need him to repeat
The University of Kentucky has never played a football game further west than Austin, Texas.
Where the hell out of town?
It seems impossible.
That does seem impossible. But
apparently is fact.
Anything is possible!
Well, let's not act like any teams out west are clamoring for Kentucky to come play.
Very
there,
true. So. I would say if that's any other SEC team, we're killing them.
Sure.
But because it's Kentucky, it's like, oh, that's cute.
But at the same time, like,
who cares?
I always hear, like, who is it? I think it was Danny and Dusty were somehow, like, challenging a team to go play Boise at the end of the year. And I was like, well, first off, teams don't go play out of conference teams at the end of the year.
Georgia does.
And second, why would any SEC team go play in a 30,000 seat stadium in Boise, Idaho, or 35, whatever it is? It's a tiny stadium.
So Texas 5-1 and 9-1.
Okay.
Texas A&M 5-1 and 8-2, and those two teams play last week of the season. Mm. Georgia is done in the SEC, which is weird. They still play UMass and Georgia Tech, which I don't really know why that is, but okay.
Well, they play Georgia Tech at the end of the year because that's
I get that, but why? So they've got, why do they have, it's just stupid, but they're 6-2.
Well, the UMass game is, remember, at the end of the year before rivalry week, everyone in the SEC usually plays.
I know why they play both of those games, why they are both stuffed at the end of their season and they're done in league and everybody else still has to play two league games is really stupid.
Sure.
And it shouldn't be that way, but whatever it is. Georgia 6-2 and 8-2. Tennessee 5-2, 8-2. Mm-hmm. Alabama and Ole Miss 4-2 and 8-2. So you can see why the SEC schools are squirming a little bit right now.
Yeah.
And here is what Lane Kiffin said when he was asked about that today.
What are your thoughts on just what the SEC championship means, or the game means, for teams that maybe, like y'all, have two losses already?
Ooh, it's a challenging question. I don't know. I guess I would say, you know, it's changed. The conference championship, you know, could have a big impact both ways for people. So I've talked to other coaches, so I'll just kind of give you the feeling from some other coaches that, you know, they don't want to be in it. And, you know, the risk to get a bye, the reward to get a bye versus the risk to get knocked out completely. I mean, that's a really big risk, just to get a bye. So, I think it's ended up being a very unique situation of all, you know, postseason sports, the way that system's set up there and how you could go to that and get knocked out. And if you don't go, you're in. I'm not a big gambler, but that's the kind of one of them Vegas, you know, like poker table thing, like, that's all in. And you're going all in the best conference in football. So you got to play somebody great too. Very different than a lot of these other conferences.
Mm.
Yeah. And this is where I think I want to have faith, because I've heard enough people that are close to, you know, the college football committee, and that are speaking out, and they are saying that the conference title game should, and we hope, fingers crossed, only be able to elevate you, not punish you. So we'll see how this goes. See, to me, if you're an SEC team, Ole Miss, and I don't know where all the tiebreakers sit. The only two teams that control their fate in the SEC are A&M and Texas. If either one of those wins out, they're in, because they're the only two teams that still have to play each other, and they both have one conference loss. Whereas Georgia, Tennessee, Bama, Ole Miss, they're all sitting at two losses. None of them play each other. So as chalk would hold, we think, none of them really have any meat left on the bone. Texas or Texas A&M should be in. That should be a one-loss team. Who gets in? Let's say Texas runs and beats Texas A&M. And Texas A&M, Georgia, Tennessee, Alabama, and Ole Miss should all, when you look at their schedule, no one really plays a tough team. They should all be a two-loss in conference. I don't know all the scenarios and who goes where.
So it comes down to a tiebreaker.
Yes, and I don't, with that many two-loss teams, I don't know where that tiebreaker sits. But Texas or Texas A&M, one of those is almost guaranteed to be in.
Yeah, the winner of that game.
The winner of the game.
Because they play in 2 weeks.
Yes. And the other one, like, it's Auburn and someone else that really shouldn't factor into this at all.
Kirby said, I don't know what they're looking for, really. I don't know.
Yeah.
I really don't know. He said, I wish they could really define that criteria. I wish they'd do the eyeball test and come down here and look at the people we're playing against and look at them.
I mean, just stupid.
You can't see that stuff on TV. We're trying to be the cumulative whole good quality team and not be on this emotional roller coaster that's controlled by people in a room somewhere that may not understand football like we do as coaches.
Yeah, he's just, he's lobbying.
What an idiot.
Well, Mike Riley understands. He's a coach.
You're not going to get all of them in.
He's on the committee.
I mean, they, what are we talking about? One, two, well, three, four, five, six.
Hello.
You're not going to get six SEC teams in.
No, but I think most of those schools will get in.
I think so.
It's just, well, if they take care of business. Yeah. It's just, we got to remember, too, that Georgia just got, didn't they just.
What?
When was that? Last year or 2 years ago that they got left out?
Last year.
That was last year.
That's one game. It was the one game they couldn't lose. They lost to Alabama.
Forgive them for being a little sensey to it.
Yeah.
So I get it. I feel like the SEC in the end is, you know, going to be rewarded because they always are.
Yeah.
Because they're the best league.
Yeah. Someone's saying they sound like they're scared of not getting six teams in. They are. They absolutely
Well, of course
are.
They are. And this is exactly why they were at the start of all this going around saying, hey, we want more automatic bids for our schools. But,
you know, six is asking a lot. Of a 12-team playoff and you want half.
They aren't getting six.
They're not getting six.
They might get five.
Unless there's some chaos and, you know, you may get some weird things, but you would assume that the Big Ten gets three. You know, let's say, so if the Big Ten gets three, the
Maybe
ACC
four.
Gets one.
Right, now the Big Ten has four.
Yeah, we'll see about that. We'll see. But they're going to get at least three. I'm saying bare minimum, they get three. The Big Ten's getting three. And then you've got the SEC. And the Big 12 gets at least one. Boise State, that's six. And then if you add six SEC teams, that would get your 12. And that's I just don't think someone else, whether it's another Big 10 team, another ACC team, maybe another Big 12 team, someone's going to sneak in there, which means you're probably going to have like Tennessee maybe get left out. And
good.
Fine. I have no sympathy for you. At some point, I understand that is the best conference, and those are all worthy teams, but I will never feel bad for the team that gets left out last. Like, I'm sorry, you had a chance to do it on the field, and you didn't get it done. And I'm sorry your schedule is a little harder than someone else's, but, you know, when you're the fifth or sixth best team in your conference, sometimes that's not good enough.
What?
Be better.
All right, the college football playoff rankings are coming out, I think, right?
Oh, I forgot Notre Dame. So, chalk that. So, they're
you're
not
only going to get four or five.
They're going to get four or five.
And it's possible that, you know, I mean, look, there's still football left. They could stumble.
Yeah.
And
but there's really not a lot of stumbling blocks there.
But they could. And Texas or Texas A&M, whoever loses, could still jump right back into the championship game and lose again, and they're out.
Yeah.
You know, so there's, I mean, can we just let it play out?
That's my whole thing. I get you're having to posture. My biggest thing is when this, and I'll ask Dave about this, because Bartu is pretty attuned to this stuff, although this one's brand new. I just want to see if anyone has the balls to punish someone for a conference championship game. Because if you do, then this whole thing is irrelevant, and you need to do it with conference title games. So, like, whether you punish Colorado or Arizona State or BYU or Georgia or Indiana, whoever. If you make it to your conference title game and you were in and you lose and that keeps you out, then I don't know what the F we're doing. Then this whole thing is just pointless, because now we're rewarding cowardice and ineptitude by not getting there, and we're punishing people for being excellent, getting to a championship game and falling short.
Being a man of increase?
Exactly. You're punishing being a man of increase, and you're rewarding people that just sit at home with their thumb on their butt. It just, that can't be.
So we'll get more into this as the rankings come out here in a bit, and we'll tell you. Sounds like there's 21 teams left for a spot.
Yeah.
21. And there's a few of them that are kind of interesting and probably forgotten about. So we'll get to that coming up on The Fan.